So look with me in Psalms 85. Everybody say Psalms 85. And let's begin to read in verse 10. Psalms 85, verse 10. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now you're going to find these scriptures to be important before we get through. Truth springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go forth before him and will make his footsteps into a way. Now Jesus said, I'm the life, the way, the truth, and the life, I believe is the way he said. And I see in verse 10 where loving kindness and truth, loving kindness was God and truth was Jesus, have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed one another. We're going to read that over in a minute over in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to elaborate a little bit on that. And truth, who is Jesus, springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. And there becomes a meeting, and there becomes a way to make it in. There wasn't a way to make it in until Jesus came and made a way where there wasn't a way. Where Jesus came and he paid a price that nobody else could pay. Only Jesus could pay that price. Now I want you to look with me in the book of Hebrews for just a minute this morning. Hallelujah. The book of Hebrews in chapter 6, I want to read just a few verses here. We're going to read in chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, this we have as an anchor of the soul, hope. Listen, if a person doesn't have any hope, they don't have an anchor. They're not steadfast. This we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one that enters into the veil. And we're speaking of the veil of Jesus' flesh. For Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now that you're going to give revelation and your word's going to come forth. And every person here will have understanding and revelation as I begin to share what you put on my heart, Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you for that, Lord, that there will be wisdom and understanding imparted to the people today in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 7 says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham appointed a tenth of the spoils, was first of all, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. Now we talked about righteousness and we talked about peace kissing one another, okay? It says that first of all, the translation of his name was Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is translated as King of Peace. How many of you know who the King of Peace is? That's Jesus, amen? So righteousness and peace have kissed one another. As a matter of fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, I give you peace. Not the peace of the world, but I give you my peace. Look with me. We'll look over that later. Let's look at Isaiah for just a minute right now. Isaiah chapter 9. But Jesus said, I give you peace. Not like the world gives, but I give you peace. See, and if you don't have any peace in your heart, you need to check your source. I said, if you don't have any peace in your heart, you need to check the source that you're receiving the ministry from. Because when the ministry of the Holy Ghost come, there's always a peace in your life. There's not turmoil. There's not a bunch of worrying and strife and things going on. There is a peace. Now Jesus came and he made a sacrifice for your peace. And he made that way. And that's what we're going to look at this morning is how the old covenant sacrifices lined up with the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and the peace of the covenant that he gave us. Now, so let's read over here in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 for just a minute. Isaiah 9 and verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtah with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, and the light will shine upon them, And thou shalt multiply the nations, and thou shalt increase their gladness. You notice he didn't say sadness. And they will be glad in thy presence. Notice that the presence of the Lord brings gladness. As with the gladness of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, thou shalt break the yoke of their bondages and the staff that's upon their shoulders. Listen, God, Jesus said that I am anointed, and the anointing destroys the yokes of bondages in your life. And it says that thou shalt break the yoke of their burden and the staff upon their shoulders and the rod of their oppression at the time as the battle of Midian. For every boot of the boot warrior in the battle will triumph, and the cloak rolled in blood will be for the burning fuel of the fire. And for a child, verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Counselor, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Everybody say Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase. Everybody say increase. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace. Come on, somebody. There's not going to ever be an end to the increase. How many of you know what this is talking about? Salvation is talking about the kingdom. It's talking about the growing of the kingdom. And it's talking about the kingdom is always growing. Say the kingdom is alive. See, it's not a kingdom of death. It's not a kingdom of death. It's a kingdom of life. And the kingdom of life, it says that there will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace. There's going to be a continual increase. Listen, from the day you got saved to where you're at today, you should have more peace today than you did the day you got saved. And if you don't, you need to check your source. Everybody say, check your source. You need to find out what's going on, why you don't have peace. Either you've outrun the peace, or you're not accepting what God has done for you already. He gave you a free gift. He paid for it. And it's all paid for. And there's nothing you can do except accept it. Say, accept it. You have to take it. Now, I'm going to share with you some real astounding facts that I found about the peace offering. Everybody say, peace offering. Say, sacrifice of peace. See, Jesus made a sacrifice of peace for us. And we're going to see some things as I begin to share. Now let's go back to the book of Ephesians. Thank you, Lord. And let's look in chapter 2. We're going to look in chapter 2, and we're going to read in verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You may have been far off a long time ago, but now you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Say, Jesus is my peace. He himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is in the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace. Everybody say, establishing peace. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. He came and he preached peace to those who were afar off and peace to those who were near. So Jesus tore down the wall. Jesus abolished the wall, and now there is no longer a wall between you and between God and between you and your fellow man. There's no longer a wall of division any longer. So there is a place that you can walk in, and you can have peace in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to turn with me now to the book of John, chapter 14. John 14. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. John 14. And verse 27, because I want to read this with you for just a second. John 14, verse 27, Jesus is speaking. It's read in your Bible if you have a red written Bible anyway. It says in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be fearful, or let it be fearful. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Everybody say, my heart will not be troubled and will not be fearful. See, now, if your heart is troubled and fearful, you're not getting the peace of Jesus. Let me say it this way. You're not getting the peace of Jesus. You're getting peace from the world. And it's not the kind of peace that Jesus intends for you to have. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's not the kind of peace that Jesus is asking you or expecting you to have. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Leviticus, and I want to talk a little bit about the peace offering. Everybody say the peace offering. I want to talk about the peace offering for just a minute. And so let's look in chapter 7, the book of Leviticus, and verse 13. It says, with the sacrifice, verse 13, chapter 7, with the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving, he shall present his offering with cakes of unleavened bread. And of this he shall present one of every kind of offering. This is very important that you see this part. Of this he will offer one of every kind of offering. Guilt offering, sin offering, and peace offering. Everybody say guilt offering, sin offering, and peace offering. So when Jesus brought his peace offering, this peace offering tore down the wall of division. When he brought his peace offering, he had to bring one of every kind of sacrifice, which he was himself. Now, it wasn't something, he didn't bring goats and lambs in, okay? He brought himself in. He brought himself in, and he began to make a vow. And we're going to see the vow that he made a while ago, and you're going to understand some scriptures that you haven't understood before, as the Lord has shown me some things. It says, with the sacrifice of the peace offering, verse 13, and of thanksgiving, he shall present this offering with cakes of unleavened bread, and of this he shall present one of every offering as a contribution to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. Now as for the flesh of the sacrifice of the thanksgiving offering, it shall be eaten on the first day of the offering, and he shall not leave any of it over until the morning. Now how many of you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I give my life. I lay my life down. He said, nobody takes my life. I give my life. Say, free will offering. Now see, the next verse talks about what happens with the free will offering. I want you to notice how this corresponds with the resurrection. It talks about the free will offering. But if the sacrifice, verse 16, but if the sacrifice of his offering is a volunteer or a free will offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day, which is the second day, what is left over may be eaten. But what is left over of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day, isn't that interesting? On the third day, which is the day that Jesus rose, you don't eat of that sacrifice because all the sacrifice has been paid. It's all taken care of. It's all paid. There's nothing left to pay. So it's all taken care of. So on the third day, there is no more sacrifice to be made. And so the first day and the second day, but on the third day when Jesus rose, and that's what this is correspondence with, then there's no more partaking of that particular meal. Jesus said, I've got a meal to partake of. I've got a sacrifice to partake of. I've got a drink to partake of. And he said, and then he said, it's finished. And we're going to see something about where he said it's finished. We're going to see something about Jesus of Nazareth. Everybody say, Jesus of Nazareth. Listen, if you pay real close attention to this, you'll get something out of this. If you don't, you won't. Amen? You've got to follow where we're going here, okay? You got to follow which way we're going here, all right? Jesus of Nazareth took a Nazarene vow. Now, that Nazarene vow, we're going to read about in a minute over in the book of Numbers, and we're going to see how that corresponds to what Jesus did on the day that he gave that sacrifice. He brought a peace offering for all of us, each and every one of us. He brought this peace offering for us. Amen? So it says here that but if the sacrifice of his offering is a voluntary, and Jesus said, nobody takes my life, I give my life up, or a free will offering, and he talks about it can eat the first day, the second day, but the third day, the day of resurrection, it's all done away with. All the sacrifices are done away with. That's why all the apostles were always having this problem with somebody wanting to sacrifice something, because it was all done away with on the cross. Amen? It was all done away with. And I want you to look with me now. Let's look over in the book of Numbers for just a minute. The book of Numbers. Thank you, Lord. We're going to look in Numbers 6. I want you to know, as I begin to teach this and begin to share this, I want you to know There is not one word in the Bible that is not significant. Every word in the Bible is significant. It has meanings. The Old Testament is a type and a shadow of what was to come in the New Testament. The Old Testament was in the flesh. The New Testament is in the spirit of things. The Old Testament was showed what was to be done. Now, we didn't understand. If you just start reading in the book of Numbers or reading in the book of Leviticus what we just read, you don't have any understanding about that. So they couldn't eat the meat for 3 days. So what, you know? Or you don't understand these things. But when you start to correspond this with the crucifixion and with the resurrection of Jesus, it starts to make a whole lot of sense. Amen? That's why I said, God, give them ears to hear and eyes to see. Because this will just go right over your head if you're not careful. You'll miss what we're talking about here because of the significance of what Jesus has done. And so let's look with me now in the book of Numbers, and we're going to start to read in verse 6. Numbers, verse 6. Again, the Lord spoke, not verse 6, chapter 6, excuse me, verse 1. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying to them, when a man or a woman makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazarene to dedicate himself, he shall abstain from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar, whether made from wine or strong drink. Neither shall he drink any juice or any grape juice or any flesh of the dried grapes. All the days of his separation, everybody says separation, he shall not eat anything that is produced by the grapevine for the seed and from the skin. So listen. This is going to be important in just a minute because I'm going to show you something. How many of you remember what Jesus said when it came to the Passover? Jesus sat down and he said, I've desired to eat this Passover with you, but after I eat this Passover, no longer will I partake of the fruit of the vine. And he said, until what? Until the kingdom of God is what? Complete. And we're going to see that in the very sacrifice that he made as he was crucified. We're going to see how that was all carried out in the sacrifice that he made. So it says that he made a Nazarene vow. As a matter of fact, what did they do when they painted Jesus' name up? They said, Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. Amen? So it was significant. Listen, there's nothing in this Bible that doesn't have significance in what God was talking about, what God was doing. And so it says, Jesus the Nazarene, and the reason he was the Nazarene, that it had to be said that way. And also, he was king of the Jews. Jesus of Nazarene, king of the Jews, king of peace. Everybody say king of peace or prince of peace. It's prince of peace is what it is. And so, Jesus understood this, and he knew exactly what he was doing in everything that he did. Now, let's go down and read a little further, and let's go to verse 17. He shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord. Together with the basket of unleavened cakes, the priest shall likewise offer its grain offering and liberation. The Nazarene shall then shave his head of his hair at the door of the tent of meetings and take his hair and put it on the fire, which is under the sacrifice for the peace offering. And let's look down in verse 20. In verse 20, then the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. It is holy for the priest. Together with the breast offering by waving and the thigh offering by lifting it up, and afterwards the Nazarite may drink wine. Now listen, this is going to be very significant in just a minute. You're going to start to see something here. Number one, the wave offering had to be picked up, it had to be lifted up, it had to be waved. That's why Jesus was on the cross. What did Jesus say? He said, if I be lifted up, what did he say? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And see, he became the peace offering, and then he became the wave offering. And we're going to see that in the scriptures as we begin to read in the scriptures. I want you to hold your place in Numbers, but I also want you to turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter 22 for just a minute. The book of Luke, chapter 22. I want to just talk again about what I had talked about. It says, Luke 22, and let's begin to read in verse 15. And Jesus said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I'm sacrificed. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had said that, he took a cup, given thanks, and said, take this and share it among you. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Now, I've been talking to you about that the kingdom of God is now. I've been talking to you about being seated in heavenly places with Christ, and that we are to be seated in heavenly places with Christ, that we're heirs and we're joint heirs with Christ. So we're going to find out something here this morning that's just going to bring more strength to that. Now, I realize everybody's being real quiet out there, but you're going to start to see something here in a minute, and you're going to start to understand some things that happened at the crucifixion, and you're going to say, the reason the Lord had me prepare this is so you can understand what was going on in the crucifixion, what was happening. It wasn't just a crucifixion, okay? Jesus was carrying out all the sacrifices from the very beginning to the very end of time. He was taking care of all the sacrifices, and he was making a peace offering, and that peace offering was tearing down the wall that was the barrier between you and God. Amen? And so this is what Jesus was doing. That's why it said, as we read a while ago, it says that he was to bring all three offerings, sin offering, guilt offering, and peace offering. See, that's what Jesus was doing. And that's why all three offerings had to come. But the peace offering brought the peace, because there was no peace in heaven. There was no peace in heaven since the fall of man. There was no peace in heaven, but then God, or there was peace in heaven, but there's no peace on earth, excuse me. There was no peace of heaven on earth is what I meant to say. That's why when Jesus was born, that the scriptures came forth, said peace on earth and goodwill to man. Because God was sending forth his peace. I hope somebody's getting something out of this, because I got a whole lot out of it when I began to study it. It really surprised me what I saw in this. So Jesus is preparing himself. As a matter of fact, what he's doing here at what we call the Last Supper, is he is making a Nazarene vow is what he's doing. He is separating himself. He starts to separate himself right then. He said, I'm not going to eat it, I'm not going to drink it anymore until the kingdom of God comes. And so he separated himself right then is what he did. Now, you notice what it says. As we were reading a while ago, it says here, Jesus said, I will not eat it again until the kingdom of God, until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God has come. Now, I'm going to tell you, the kingdom of God has already come. Whether you know that or whether you don't know that, the kingdom of God has already been fulfilled. It's already come. And the wave offering, like I said, that was Jesus being lifted up. It said that they had to lift up this wave offering. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. Now, look with me in, let's look with me in John 19 for just a minute. I'm sorry, not John, Luke. Not Luke, Mark. I'll be all right. Y'all help me every chance you get. Mark 15. Hallelujah. Mark 15. Mark 15. If I'm a little disorientated, this is the first time I've taught this, because I just now started seeing some of these things I'm sharing with you this morning. So it's taken me a little bit to try to get all the scriptures put together here that I want to put together to show you. Now, I want you to notice, remember where we're at with Jesus and the crucifixion. He just went through what we call the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, and he just told them, I'm not going to drink any more wine until the kingdom of God is fulfilled. That's an important thing that you need to know. Also, did you notice that it said that when he brought his offering, that he had to have his head shaved? And listen, they didn't shave Jesus' head, but you know what they did? They pulled his hair out. They pulled his beard out. They pulled it out is what they did. And that was what that has to do with the Nazarene vow also. And they sacrificed him is what they did. They were sacrificing him, although they didn't realize what they were doing. They were sacrificing him at the time. And, oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. In chapter 15 in verse 23, let's go to verse 21. And they brought him to a place, Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. And they tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Everybody say he did not take it. Do you know why he didn't take it? Because he was under the Nazarene vow. He couldn't take it at that time. But a little later on, we're going to see Jesus asking for a drink, signifying after that everything had been fulfilled, than he could receive. So we're gonna go along here and see this a little as we go along. Now look with me in John chapter 19. First, on the way there, we're going to stop at John 10, and then we'll go on to 19. John 10. I just want to establish this with you as we go. We're talking about it being a free will offering. I want to establish this on the way through. In John 10, in verse 17, it says this, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay my life down that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." So he is in the midst of the vow that he's taken as a Nazarene to bring an offering, a peace offering, and to abolish the wall that's kept us out all these years since the creation of the world. So Jesus now has come to this point. And we saw that he already came to the point that he couldn't receive the wine. He said he wouldn't receive it, it said. They'd pulled his hair out now. They'd pulled his beard out. They'd beaten him. They'd brought him to the place of a skull. And now I want you to notice what it says in chapter John 19. John 19 and verse 19. John 19, verse 19. Remember what I said about the Nazarene's vow? It says in verse 19, "And they wrote an inscription also and put it across, and it was written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." See, that was, even the world, let me say this, even the world, although they didn't know it, were cooperating with the crucifixion of Jesus. Is anybody getting this at all this morning? Even the world were being part to fulfill the scriptures. And that's what we're going to see here in just a minute, that we're all being... See, because Jesus had already made the sin offering. Jesus had already made the guilt offering. And now he was making the peace offering that would tear down the wall that kept you out of heaven. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to be saying hallelujah to this. Because I'm telling you, Jesus is doing something here. And when you start to see this, it excites you in your heart. And you'll start to understand what was going on. You're going to start to want to read the Old Testament because you're going to find out the Old Testament is talking about the New Testament. Amen? It's talking about what's coming in the spiritual realm, because Jesus is coming and he's fixing to sacrifice himself, and he's made his Nazarene vow, and now they wrote over his head Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. They even put it on, even the world put it on him now. So now he's under the Nazarene vow. His head's been shaven. His sacrifice is fixing to be made. He's come to the cross, or on the way to the cross, and he refuses to take a drink of the wine. And now suddenly we're in chapter 19, and we're over in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, everything that the Nazarene had to do was accomplished to make this peace offering. Everything had been accomplished. The whole thing had been accomplished. And it says it a little further down. It says this, "And having already been accomplished, in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled." Now, what did it say? It says, then the Nazarene can what? They can take a drink when it's all been fulfilled, when his vow's been fulfilled. Now, he says, "I thirst." So they reach down, they get the wine, they give it to him, he receives it. Because he says, knowing all things have already been accomplished, knowing all the scriptures have already been accomplished, knowing that the sacrifice of peace has already been made, the sacrifice of peace has already been taken care of, it's already taken care of. Jesus gave us peace. As a matter of fact, Jesus is your peace. Jesus gave us peace. Jesus gave us peace. It was a free will offering, peace offering, and it was a sacrifice. And the only purpose, you're going to like this, the only purpose of the peace offering was this, that ever who offered it might have fellowship with God. That's the only purpose of the peace offering, was that the person who offered it might have fellowship with God. Where did Jesus go? He's where? He's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He's tore down the middle partition. Come on, somebody. Come on, he's tore down the middle partition, somebody. Come on now. And he's tore down this middle partition now, and he's established peace with us. And Jesus said, it is finished. Now, the reason Jesus could go ahead and take that last drink there, and we're not talking about alcohol, whether it was or not, I don't know, and I don't care. I'm not into that, okay? But I'm telling you, I'm into seeing the fact that Jesus had completed, because he said it's finished. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We have a way to enter in now, and that's through the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, by through the veil of his flesh. He's already made the sacrifice, and we can come in. Come on, somebody. And we get peace. We get peace that passes all understanding. I mean, you can be in the middle of hell breaking loose all around you, but the peace of Jesus can be on you in the middle of the storm. Come on, somebody. You can have peace because Jesus made a way for there to be peace in your life, and you don't have to be in torment. You don't have to be always upset and always bothered all the time. You've got peace because he sacrificed himself as that lamb. He made that vow, and he came and he said, I'm laying my life down. Nobody's taking it from me. He said, you sacrificed me because I want my people to be able to come to God. I'm going to tear this wall down. Come on, somebody. There's no longer a wall. There's no longer a war in heaven and earth now, because there's a peace that's here that we only can have through Jesus, because he has established peace. Come on, somebody. He's established a peace for us. He's brought a peace into our life. Come on, if you hadn't got peace, you better check your source. And the only reason that there was this kind of sacrifice was when this worshiper came. He came to the priest, and he brought his peace offering. And the reason he brought his peace offering is so he could have communion, be in fellowship with. Establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, through the wave offering of the cross. Come on, somebody. Through the cross. This is good. By it putting to death the enmity, there's no more wrath of God coming upon children except those of disobedience. Now, the children of disobedience have the wrath of God on them. Come on, somebody. I mean, that's just the way it is.